You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Palestinian people have been tormented by innumerable atrocities. Many of these are denied, like the intentional ethnic cleansing of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their homes in 1948. Other atrocities, once briefly recognized, then are buried in the black hole of forgetfulness, like the massacres in the refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila, which began under the approving eyes of Ariel Sharon this very day in 1982. But most atrocities simply have gone unreported, unremarked upon, as though nothing had happened. Such is the case today with the atrocities being perpetrated by Israel on the Palestinian people in Gaza. And we've reached Ali Abu Nima in Dublin, Ireland, to bring the situation of Gaza to the light and the foreground. Ali is a founding member of Electronic Intifada, and he's the author of a new book. It's titled One Country, A Bold Proposal to End the Israeli-Palestinian Impasse. It's published by Metropolitan Books, and I have Ali on the line now. Maybe you could tell us about the time when Israel's claim to have withdrawn from Gaza was a lie that really was betrayed what the Israeli military did by what the Israeli military did immediately after the Jewish settlers were moved, many of them back to resettle in the West Bank. What was the situation in Gaza at that point?
Well, for the past, three decades, as Israel put settlers in Gaza, the settlers never exceeded 8,000 people, but they controlled more than 30% of the land. So less than 1% of the people, about 0.5% of the people in Gaza, controlled 30% of the land. And of course, Israel controlled all of the crossings, the sea, the air, the borders of Gaza. No Palestinians could go in and out. Since Israel took the settlers out last year, that situation has actually gotten much, much worse. And Gaza is under total siege. The people there are starving, literally starving. The United Nations and other aid agencies report that malnutrition levels are rising rapidly. UNCTAD, one of the UN agencies, the development agencies, says that per capita income among Palestinians in 2006 will be half what it was prior to the year 2000. Another UN agency indicate that there are now more than 40,000 children who are forced to work in the occupied territories because of the Israeli siege. We have a report on our website, the Electronic Intifada, of a man, Tariq Omar, aged 32, who reported that he tried to go to 10 different stores to buy a single box of powdered milk to feed his baby. He said, "I do not know what to do. I'm ready to pay double the price for having only one package, but there is none." Now, the Palestinians in Gaza are not subject to a tsunami or an earthquake or any kind of natural disaster. They're being deliberately starved by Israel, which controls all of the entry points and exits. And at the same time, Israel is bombarding them freely. Israel claims that it bombs Gaza in order to protect itself against Palestinian rockets. The fact is that other than inconvenience a very small number of Israelis, these rockets do almost no harm, whereas Israel has engaged in mass destruction in Gaza. Since the beginning of June, more than 200 Palestinians have been killed, a third of them children, the vast majority of them civilians. Thousands of people have been killed, have been injured and maimed. More than the entire population, 1.5 million people, are traumatized and terrorized on a daily basis by constant and indiscriminate Israeli bombardment. And all of this is going on not only with the world not paying attention, but with the active support. The deliberate starvation of the Palestinians is fully endorsed by the United States government, by the European Union, by the government of Canada, among others. They are fully complicit in the Israeli war crimes, and their policymakers have as much blood on Palestinian hands as the Israelis who actually pull the triggers. But the weapons are American. The legitimacy for the siege and starvation of the Palestinians has the respectability of a so-called humanitarian Canada and the European Union. Now, I'd just like to say I'm talking to you from Dublin, Ireland, and here outrage is growing at the complicity of the EU, the European Union, in Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people. And I just came back from an action that took place all over Dublin with people picketing stores, supermarkets that sell Israeli produce, and calling for a popular boycott of Israeli products in order to do what EU and other world governments have refused to do, which is to hold Israel accountable. And I hope that people in Canada will begin to do the same thing, because Palestinians are crying out for it. More than 200 Palestinian civil society organizations have called on the people of the world to isolate the Israeli regime and to hold it to account, the way the South African apartheid regime was in its time brought to heel by popular outrage at its crimes.
Do you think that the Israeli military are seeking some revenge as well against the people of Gaza because of the military surprise and stalemate they faced when they invaded Lebanon?
There's no doubt about that. I mean, what puzzles me is that, you know, in the Western press and in our newspapers, we have these esoteric debates about, we must try to divine Israel's intentions. Does Israel really intend to harm the Palestinians, or is it collateral damage? And the Israelis themselves say it. I mean, Israeli officers say, back earlier this year in April, when Israel was firing 300 artillery shells a day, 155-millimeter artillery shells a day at Gaza, that they were saying openly that this is intended to terrorize the population and to force them to bring to heel the Palestinian resistance. Israel's plan is clear. Palestinians have only two choices. One is total submission and surrender to Israeli tyranny, or death. And Palestinians so far have not chosen submission to tyranny. They have stood up to it. They have suffered the starvation. They have suffered the bombardment. They've stood in face of a callous and complicit world that sides with Israel against them. I mean, it's extraordinary. There isn't a single clause in the Geneva Conventions that Israel is not now, as we speak, violating. There are dozens of UN resolutions that this Israeli regime is violating. This Israeli regime continues to create new refugees every day, to expropriate Palestinian land, to demolish the homes of Palestinians, to commit atrocities and war crimes in Lebanon. We had an Israeli officer in Haaretz last week, the Israeli newspaper, who was quoted as saying that Israel's bombing of Lebanon with cluster bombs was monstrous. That was the word Haaretz quoted an Israeli officer saying, monstrous, and dropping more than 1.2 million cluster bomblets on Lebanon. These are war crimes of the highest order, and yet the international sanctions are against the victims of Israel, against the people living under this military tyranny and occupation. It is an outrageous situation, but I'm heartened by the fact that at a popular level, at least here in Europe, outrage is rising at the democratic deficit that European governments that are so cowardly in the face of pressure from the Bush administration and the pro-Israel lobby, who have failed in their international commitments, failed under their Geneva Convention commitments to hold Israel to account, people are doing it. And the protests, the boycott, the divestment, the sanctions, movement is growing. And here in Ireland, it's really amazing how strong it is. It's heartening because in North America, we're so used to the power of the pro-Israel lobby. And I think that people can be encouraged that these actions do work, and we really need to gather around them and support them.
Just very, very briefly, Ali, there's the recent news of a formation of a Palestinian unity government, something that was much in the works and sabotaged by Israel earlier with its policy of atrocities in Gaza. What do you see as the prospects for that unity currently?
Well, as I've said before, Mordecai, I don't call it a government because the Palestinian Authority has no power or control. It can't protect Palestinians against the Israeli military regime. So, in a way, it's a fiction. I also resent very much, and as many Palestinians do, the notion that they're not allowed to elect their own government. There was a clear election result. It might not have been the result that I or others wanted, but Hamas won the election. Hamas has observed a one-sided truce with Israel now for more than 18 months. Hamas ran on a platform of wanting to come to long-term agreement with Israel. By what right do the European Union and Canada and the United States say to the legitimate victor of the election that you must form a coalition with the loser, or we will continue to starve you? This is totally anti-democratic. Can you imagine if in Canada or the UK or the United States or if countries around the world said to George Bush, we will not recognize your administration unless you make John Kerry, the loser, the vice president? This is outrageous. The Palestinian people voted, and what we have is a European, U.S. Orchestrated coup to try to change the election result. Meanwhile, the Israeli government and Israeli political parties, you may have heard that last week Effie Etam, one of the party leaders, respected and travels around the world freely, called for the expulsion of every Palestinian from the West Bank. And I have not heard of any sanctions or any movement that Israeli political party leaders or Israeli government ministers have to be held to account for their genocidal plans. It is outrageous. The Palestinians had an election, and the world should respect it. The idea that democracy means that the world starves the Palestinians for making the wrong vote, I think, discredits democracy and really throws the light on the hypocrisy of Western liberals who take this kind of approach.
Thank you very much, Ali, both for your information and your passion, and we'll try to carry both forward with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ali Abu Nima. He's a founding member of Electronic Intifada, an invaluable source of information on Palestine, on Israel, on Lebanon, and on Iraq. And their website is electronicintifada.net. Ali Abu Nima has just published a new book, and the title is One Country, A Bold Proposal to End the Israeli-Palestinian Impasse.